Steve. We covered FCR. This is the main part of our podcast. 88E, please.
Yeah, practically speaking, the company's in sort of a little bit of a lull period now, whilst obviously they get the Icewind 2 underway. So obviously they'll be designing the oil rig and the drill and everything around what's known, work out the fracking fluid, and then they'll obviously do that sort of beginning of next year. So, but there's news afoot that they've obviously got, you know, there's still this ambiguity between have they got 2D or 3D. So what happened there was the company that originally shot the 3D, they were asking too much money for it. So Dave Wall has basically turned around and said, no, we know what's down there. We'll just work with the 2D. You know, we're not being ripped off here. So he's paid for the 2D. So the company, instead of paying for people, staff, services, the explosives that they use to work out the seismic data, you know, by the time they've mobilized all that, paid all those wages to reshoot an area that they've already reshot, you know, they'll be losing money. So all the company's done is basically given at cost the 3D to Dave Wall, pocketing the money for the 2D. So it's a win-win situation. The seismic company hasn't lost any money, and Dave Wall has got sort of 3D for the price of the 2D. And then the surrounding areas, the 2D data has been done. So we're just sort of sitting back now and awaiting news from the interpretation of the 3D. And then on the back of that, it's a case of, will there be a joint venture deal already in place? And will they have a look at potentially selling off some land in that sort of area? So, you know, we'll sit back and await with bated breath the sort of next steps in the journey there.
Yeah, you just look at the heightened activity. It was basically at the beginning of April. And obviously, well, I would imagine anyway, because of the lack of the news flow, people are going to drift away, aren't they?
Yeah, but again, imagine if they turn around and say, you know, we've identified a prospect, 1.6 billion barrels, a sister company's come in, 50-50, joint venture, free carry, they're paying for the drill. Now, there's another company I've been looking at that's got roughly the same sort of deal and scenario in place.
Okay.
And you know, it's just massive. When you hear a news story like that, it's something to sort of sit up and pay attention, you know. The other news flow from 880 is that they're going to be re-releasing sort of news, if you like. The old cut-even price, break-even price of the extraction of the oil from the shale play was around about $52. So with the permeability superhighway in play, obviously the cost is going to be a lot less. So they'll be releasing some sort of up-to-date figures on what the cost of the barrel of oil is for extraction. So that could be coming out very, very soon. And obviously with the interpretation of the 3D, that will obviously might mean there's a joint venture deal already signed, sealed and delivered in the background based upon facts and figures. So yes, the share price has drifted, as you said, but this could be the point in time where you might want to potentially be considering jumping in.
Okay, so I'm talking about oil companies. I've been watching the launch, well, the IPO actually, in the Canadian market, SDX Energy, and I've they look very interesting to me. We did a Q&A with the management team, and they were quite open. And just when you mentioned the price of a barrel of oil, I think them guys can go down to $15. Obviously, oil, I don't think, will ever hit that, but the well off the radar, SDX Energy, well off the radar.
Yeah, I mean, effectively, the companies that previously owned the drill sites, they didn't have any money by way of capital expenditure.
Yeah.
So they haven't worked over the well holes. So basically all this company's done is acquired the drill areas. They've gone in there and said, right, what can we do? How can we work over these drills? And they've obviously had a look at the drills, and they can basically just put a little choke collar on the wells and then use sort of other techniques. So they're going to be due a re-rate very, very soon on the basis of they can potentially double the amount of oil coming out of the well now.
Yeah, the production.
So, again, twice as much profitability. And by using different techniques, they can actually work over the well holes, the bore holes. And what that means in the grand scheme of things is they'll actually have a lot more recoverable oil. So their oil reserves are going to be potentially up to sort of 2.5-3 times greater than what they currently are, just on the basis of the workovers. So effectively, they're going to be adding sort of 4-5 times the value of the company.
Yeah,
just by,
definitely.
You know, capital expenditure doesn't really come into the equation with working over a rig. It is simply a case of they go in there, it's almost like squeezing the end of a hose pipe. You know, you build up a bit more pressure, more fluid comes out the end of the hose pipe, and that's all they're doing. So very good CEOs on board, loads of experience across the board with them all. So very prudent CEO management, excellent sort of way to do the business, really. You know, it's almost like saying your car does 30 miles to the gallon. Hey, let's see if your fuel tank, and it's like, oh, your fuel tank at the minute's got 20 litres in it. How about I give you another 10 litres and then we'll get it up to 70 miles to the gallon. So it's adding value in more ways than one.
Definitely. You look at the market cap as well. The market cap's just over 70 million. And also Circle Oil, I won't go into detail, but they're trying to sell some assets, and SDX Energy are right near them. Can I just bring in Highland Resources, speaking of, since we're on the oil and gas trail before we move on? You highlighted them at 15 pence. Good shout, may I add. Are you still watching them?
Yeah. Of course I'm still watching them. Still involved with the company. And they've had a massive deal sort of signed, sealed and delivered with, you know, one of the sort of top companies. And obviously the share price has gone to sort of 75p.
Mm.
It came back down to the 50p area, a lot of consolidation around that sort of area, and you know the share price has bounced accordingly from that sort of level. So we've got Schlumberger in doing the tests and everything. So hopefully within the next sort of month or two, we'll hear back that the technology works, and you know, but reading between the lines, obviously they would have done some sort of lab tests, computer modelling, et cetera, et cetera. So I think we know, as well as Schlumberger know, that it's going to be good. So happy to have got in at the right sort of point in time in the journey. And then obviously patent news, that will drop as and when. So, you know, but for a second company to sign an agreement with Highland Natural Resources, that just shows that the company aren't just sitting back and allowing one company to take the reins. You know, they're being active and proactive in driving the company forward, getting more agreements on the table, adding more value, more strings to the bow.
Yeah, like you said, they've definitely done the theory, now they're doing the practical, and hopefully, we're hoping to interview them in June. hoping to interview him this month, but won't go too deep into that story. But you know yourself, the amount of wells that are involved, and also the package, the remuneration they get back if this technology works. This is definitely, HNR is definitely interesting, one to watch.
Just off the top of my head, for instance, the fracking wells and the technology that it could be utilised for, based in just America only.
Yeah.
So we're not talking about the world, just American soil only. It's an $80 billion a year contract. You know, that's how big the industry is. Now, the agreement that they've got in place is basically they want to take between 20 and 30% of the cost of the additional extraction.
Yeah.
Now, they're on about extracting, you know, for a good sort of year and a half to 2 years per well. So if you take Eagleford at the top of their sort of spike, they were producing 320,000 barrels. So if you take 20% of that, you know, you're going to be talking 6,400 barrels just on the Eagleford area. Now, that is per day. So if you all of a sudden start talking, like in today's money with the price of oil being around about $50 per barrel, you're all of a sudden talking about, you know, hundreds of millions of US dollars flying into the bank account week on week, month on month. And that's just a very small proportion of what Schlumberger, Schlumberger will be doing. So, you know, if you talk about worldwide, if the patent's granted, then literally overnight you're talking about a multi-billion dollar company. So, you know, masses and masses of potential. I would be surprised if that, you know, Schlumberger don't actually buy the patents fully off the people involved. So it would just be, you know, either way, the share price upon that news, as and when and if that news drops, it's going to be, you know, bigger than anything or anyone could ever have imagined.
So the Americans, you look at the American market as well, they've definitely got their eye on Highland Resources, because you can see that. Just to touch on another oil and gas company, just before we go into the mining section, if you don't mind. Canadian Overseas Petroleum, COPL, Steve, you've been talking about?
Yep. Basically, I've been in touch with the management. We're having a nice conversation the other day, and I've been in touch with Exxon. Basically, they've got a massive resource in a well-known sort of play area, and the well's going to be drilled end of this year, going into next year. The area's already been extensively mapped and fully defined with the 3D seismics.
Yeah.
So it's relatively low cost. It's relatively sort of higher chance of success than a lot of other sort of areas. And if you obviously go away and do your research, the area that they're drilling off Liberia is basically a well-known area for oil resource. So hopefully I'm going to be doing what I did for 8AD. I might be able to obviously get hold of some further information and data, and you know, fingers crossed, I'll be able to interpret what's what and what's not. And hopefully we'll be following their news story. But again, it's going to be a good sort of 4 or 5 months earliest that they're going to do the drill. So, you know, it's definitely one to watch, definitely one to keep on the lookout list. And hopefully I can gain and gather some more information from COPL and, fingers crossed, from Exxon.
Well, we're in talks with the management team ourselves, and what we would say to anybody listening to this today, we're going to do a Q&A with them, hopefully next week. So if people keep sending the questions, that'd be really good, you know, for shareholders so they can get to the management team. But
yeah, definitely. Yeah. And if people want to sort of fire questions either via yourself, NSE Share Talk, or, you know, fire the questions over to me,
yeah,
I can obviously forward them on and we can, you know, work together with the company and do some good PR and coverage for them.
It's definitely because what you say, where they're in bed with their ExxonMobil, basically COPL holds 17% working interest in Block LB13, like you say, Liberia. But ExxonMobil, the operators, holds 83% working interest. So they're definitely next to a big company there. They're in bed with a big company.
Yeah, definitely. And CPOL have got basically a carry. You know, you said they're the 17%. It's on all costs. So literally everything up until ExxonMobil actually spends $120 million US dollars. So it isn't just a one drill deal, it's an ongoing multiple well drill deal. So it's not just a one shot wonder. So if they hit oil where they are within that same block, they can go and do 2, 3, 4 wells, you know, until that money runs out. And then, you know, happy days, you know, even if out of the 4 drills they only hit on one drill, you know, that's going to be the return on money that they're after.
Yeah, and like you said, they've got that carry from the big operators. So I think they're in quite a good position. Just to touch onto the mining sector, I've got to mention Hummingbird Reserves, HUM. We spoke to them on Friday. We've just put the interview up this weekend, but the RNS they released, I don't know if you've been following it, Steve. They released an RNS, a placement subscription, and they raised £45.8 million, which is absolutely staggering amount of money. It's amazing. Unbelievable.
That is almost unheard of. I mean, if you have a look at all the companies we've been following recently, like Noricum, KRS, you know, that fundraising is more than the market caps on those two companies.
Exactly.
You know, and you know, it just goes to show you've just got to find a niche little product somewhere and, you know, promote it in the right way, and, you know, the sky's the limit. So, but, you know, we're going back to like COPL, they're basically based on the London Stock Exchange as well as the Toronto Stock Exchange.
Yeah, Canadian.
And, yeah, the Canadians just don't have a clue on how to value any sort of mining stocks. And that's why a lot of Toronto-based companies are now dual listing.
All right.
Yeah. The Canadians do not like or know how, you know, I don't know if they've got the mentality to do it or if it's a case of we're not interested in that, you know. They would rather deal with things. They've got a version of Dragon's Den, for instance. There's people in there that want to open a sandwich shop, they get funding. There's people there that have got a multi-million sort of Canadian dollar business venture. They're looking for a cash injection of, you know, equivalent to 30,000-40,000 English pounds, and they won't get the funding. And you sort of sat there like, what is it? Why are you doing that? You know, that makes perfect business sense, what they're suggesting. And I just can't get my head around the sort of Canadian mentality when it comes to sort of fundraising, business management, or anything along those lines.
Yeah, it's, I'm just on the Hummingbird. I was talking to the company, like I say, on Friday, and they put the classic tweet that was the tweet of all tweets. They put on there, I've got to say this, I said in the interview, the exact words were US dollars, 67 million raised, hyphen. Now let's get that gold mine built, boom. And then they put the RNS underneath. honestly, if Carlsberg had wrote that, they just couldn't even write that. They couldn't write that RNS. It's class.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
It's
it goes to show, you know, just the wording on the RNS shows down to earth management and what they want to do and how they're going to go about doing it.
Yeah, we covered them in March as well, so we've made quite good relations with them through LSC Share Talk. So we'll carry on there. We'll carry on down that road, covering them. Right, we're going to talk about Keris, your baby now.
My baby and other people's babies.
Yeah, I know, but you know, it's obviously you've aligned yourself with Keris. I'll go on to Norricum in a bit. What's your opinion of Keris at the moment?
Practically speaking, it looks like the market needed to see the figures. Now, Dave Reeves, as we know, is a good guy, you know, brilliant CEO, brilliant manager, and they put a tweet out recently saying, hey, we're looking at, you know, an old friend here underground, and by the looks of it, they're looking to start up another tribute mine. So there's good news flow in the way. They obviously did the fundraising for the 1.25 million. So it looks like Prince of Wales Mine news will be due soon on how they're going to work over the mine. So fingers crossed that'll be up and running by year end. What I will say to everyone is with Keris, it's a solid, solid company, solid assets, brilliant working agreement, nice cheap capital expenditure, so there's no need to worry about funding. It's so solid, it's almost should be like a FTSE 100 index company. It will take time. Patience is required.
Okay. NMG?
Yeah, Norricum Gold. Let's just say they're at the start of the journey. The share price has been bouncing between sort of spot 1.5 and spot sort of what 2.21, that sort of area. And they released an RNS a short while back saying that they're progressing with the drilling. So I've not been in touch with Greg recently, but this is the point in time where I would say that it's going to start doing the extraction. So it's coming up to the third quarter, which is when they said they were going to start production.
Yeah.
Gold price come up and it's consolidating nicely. And it's not a sort of a one-trick pony. You know, they've got lots of resources there, lots of differing resources, gold, silver, copper. And, you know, there'll be a few more sort of minerals, etc., to come out in the pipeline after they've completed all the seismic work and drill areas, you know, core samples. Then they've got the IP machine that they're going to shoot down to sort of 400 metres. So there'll be an updated JORC coming out at any point in time. So it's just the very start of their journey now. And, you know, next time we talk, fingers crossed, there'll be a bit of news flow saying, you know, we're going to potentially be starting on this date, you know, and this is what we've got, updated resources. So it's looking very good.
It is, Daniel. I've definitely, Norricum, the deal they've got now, because the transformational, they've just reinvented themselves from what they previously were. I think the share price is around spot 15 or spot 16, but like you say, that's one we'll be watching closely, because I think when the news starts unfolding in the third quarter, they'll attract a lot of interest. I'm a big liker of this company, you know, and Greg and the team, Martin.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, a lot of people look towards Greg as the CEO, but you know, this is me, this is my personal opinion. Greg's good at running the company, but as I say to everyone all the time, do your research. Now, his second-hand man, Martin, has been in that area for so long. it's a, you know, it's almost a no-brainer to sort of follow him. You know, being in the area, he knows the area, he used to work for a previous company working there, and it's, you know, he left that big company on massive sort of pay scale there to pursue this area in this region, working with the people he knows to obviously, you know, get through this mining resource that they've got there. So, you know, it's an absolute massive, massive resource area.
It's been well explored as well. You know, it's been, you know, by the Russians and everything. Just to push on, Steve, GGP, Gretlin Gold.
Gretlin Gold, in bed with Metal Tiger, by the sounds of it.
They sure will. I did an interview on, I think I did it on Thursday, Gervais Headley from Australia and Paul Johnson of Metal Tiger. Gervais is in Australia. Yeah. Paul was in Spain. You try doing that on Skype, I'll tell you. But anyway, joking aside, yeah, Gretlin Gold, they've gone up from about spot 9, they've hit the spot 30 marker, give and take, just over that. But looking at just the interviews and everything else, they look like they've really got some exciting stuff coming up in Australia. The Bromis drill is commencing soon. They've got four main targets for nickel, sulfide.
Yeah.
And I don't know, like, I might be wrong in saying this, but this just listening to their interviews, they're quite open as well to getting another asset on board. So it just looks... What's your views anyway? Sorry, what's your views?
My view, anything to do with PJ at the moment, you know, Metal Tiger, anything surrounding their companies, they do so much due diligence, and there's people working behind the background that not a lot of people know about. Yeah. And they sit there and they've all got to be happy with what it's doing. Anything that they do, anything they touch, literally turns to gold. Now, if they're going to be going after Gretlin Gold and they're going to be potentially acquiring other assets along the way, you know it's only going to add value. So, you know, I've not invested in Metal Tiger, but there is so much upside. You've got to do so much research on the company. You know, it's almost split into two halves. You've got a producing side and then you've got sort of an investment side. So it's such a big resource, such a big company. They've got so much news flow to come as well. I mean, just skimming over the surface of it, Botswana news is due. I know that just from reading sort of social media. And, you know, it's taking a while because there's just so much to find. So, and it's interesting sort of sitting there, even though I'm not invested, I sit there, I listen to the interviews, and he just sounds like such a genuine guy, very down to earth, always has a laugh and a joke. And, you know, it's just like that's the sort of manager you want, you know, just, you know, absolute good guy.
They've got Spain on the go as well. So they're doing Spain. They talk about gold, but it's the tungsten really in Spain. But the thing I'm looking at, because obviously you've got Botswana, you've got Mud Resources there, where Metal Tiger have got the 30% joint venture, the 5% of Mud Resources. And like you say, they're drilling all the time. They're sandwiched between two big players there. But me personally, I'm looking at Thailand. I think the amount of time the management team is spending in Thailand, and this is only my opinion, I think they're pushing the Thailand thing because they seem to have people out there full time. So that's the thing I'm looking at the moment. But at the moment, the markets are not seeing it, you know, until they start delivering.
That's it. And, you know, obviously, I know you covered Metal Tiger from an early period and the share price went up to sort of around about the 5p mark, I believe it was.
6p.
But it has come down. All right.
Sorry.
Yeah. I mean, it's come down and consolidated nicely.
Mm-hmm. True.
But the company's moving forward at the same time that the share price is coming down. So you know it's going to be due a bounce soon. I knew enough about the company and the potential it has, you know, it'll put a lot of other sort of mid-tier companies to shame by the sounds of what the potential there is. So, you know, it will be interesting to see how it plays out and what happens with it going forward.
I think 2016-17, I think is going to be very interesting for them, because I have covered the company a lot, and obviously the trade now, the golden tickets, the Willy Wonka golden tickets, I think they invested about £1 million in various companies. The list is quite intense. I think that portfolio is up to about £4 million now. So, you know, this is just on the side, away from everything. So people don't see it, you know. They're a very complex
company. Yeah.
They've just gone into Ireland with two companies. So obviously the list is they're definitely interesting, that's for sure. Well, Red Rock Resources, they're in with Red Rock Resources now, as you know. You know, they're going to have the show on the 21st in London, you know, for Gretlin Gold. So you'll have Andrew Bell there, who's obviously on the board of Gretlin Gold. And like you said, the list of the companies these guys are investing in, Kibo Mining, just Goldstone Resources, Ariana, it goes on, honestly, it just goes on. ECR, Minerals, Mod, just a long list. But can I just mention, I've got to mention Dave Archer, Steve, from Savannah Resources, SAV.
Okay.
I did an interview with him this week, and that's another company that's well under the radar. I think they were two spot something when I spotted them the last time. I think they're about just over 3p, and they've just gone into Finland for lithium. So it seems a lot of these mining companies now, they're starting to go that way, you know, for the electric vehicle manufacturers, everything's going that way. So there's a lot of companies starting to pay, you know, go that way.
Yeah, I mean, all you got to do is have a look to the sort of the Far East, and you know they're buying up so much sort of things towards energy. And when I say energy, I'm on about like energy storage units.
Yeah.
So it'll be things like mobile phones, batteries.
Yeah. Batteries.
Car batteries. You know, all of these wind turbines, solar panels, etc., they're now starting to store the energy better from them instead of putting it through the grid and it not being used overnight, for instance. They're basically setting up massive banks of batteries.
Yeah, for sure.
So,
yeah.
You know, there's going to be, you know, I think that's going to be sort of one of the next revolutions, if you like. You've obviously got Tesla that's buying up literally everything on the market.
Yeah.
To do with batteries, energy recovery systems, energy storage systems. So, you know, that sort of area. I mean, everyone looks towards gold, platinum, silver, copper, that sort of thing in the downturn in the market. But it very much looks like sort of lithium and sort of rare earth minerals are going to come to the front of sort of major plays going forward.
Well, just to pick up on that, I agree with what you're saying. One of the companies we follow closely, European Metals Holdings, EMH.
Yeah.
And I watched them, Keith Coughlin, and I watched them last week. They're the same thing in Europe, you know. They're going to be in the renewable game, if you like, in the mining sector. And I watched their share price go down, I must mean about 11p, and then bang, up it went, you know what I mean, all the way back up to 18 now. It's just, you know, well, I'm looking at the chart here, around the beginning of April, it was 7.88p. And it's just, I think, what I'm trying to say is, I think people are picking up on this now. They've actually seen the turn. These rare earth companies,
yeah.
You know?
Definitely. If you have a look at the markets and the way they are, everyone's now got a mobile phone.
Yeah.
Everyone's got a laptop. Everyone's got an iPad. Everyone is utilizing batteries, you know. sort of energy consumption around the world now is higher than it's ever been and higher than it ever will be. You know, you look back 15 years, you would have had a mobile phone that lasts on the battery, you know, a good week or so before you needed to charge it, you know.
Yeah, it's true.
You walk out your house with 20% battery, you know that if you needed to do a 3-hour phone call, the battery would last. Nowadays, I see people going into work with a phone charger in their hand. I see them getting in the car, they plug the phone charger in. You know, everything now has got to a point where it's almost silly. You know, you're just constantly having to charge your phone, your laptop, your iPad, everything. You know, battery sizes are coming smaller. So it has to be a case of now, you know, the next revolution's got to be in better batteries, better systems for utilising them. And again, that transfers over into cars. So, you know, that's the way the market's generally going now. Electric cars, hybrids, that type of scenario. So definitely sort of rare earth seems to be the way to go.
It is. It's like you said, when I'm talking across to these companies, and like you said, the people, they're going to end up with batteries in the houses where they can store the electricity, use it on the evening, you know, this sort of thing. The solar stuff being collected into batteries, and like you said, and then you've got the electric vehicles. The industry is going to explode shortly. It's definitely changing. You can see it in front of us. It's definitely going that way.
Yeah, definitely.
Right, sir. I don't know where you are or what you're up to, but I'm sure it's been lovely talking to you. What are you up to anyway before you leave?
I'm going to go off camping this weekend into the deepest, darkest depths of Devon.
Oh, I bet the sun's shining down there as well.
Oh, it's constant sunshine down here for the last week, so it'd be a shame to not utilise it.
I've seen a pair of legs on Twitter the other day with a fishing rod. That was quite scary.
Yeah, I think I'll keep them off Twitter in future. I got a few comments, including from a few CEOs. They came on and were talking about it. So, I think I'll keep them covered.
Sorry, you're making me laugh here. Right. Steve Larry.
That's what they said.
By the way, thanks. Great talking to you. It's an absolute pleasure, mate, as always. And you have a lovely weekend, okay?
Yep, same with you, Alex. You have a good time. And as we said earlier, everyone, all the listeners out there, if there's any companies that you want to pose questions to, utilise us. Send the questions over. It doesn't matter if they're easy questions or hard questions. You know, we will ask the questions other companies won't.
Yeah, I like it, mate. I like it. All right. Catch you later, and thanks. Cheers, Steve.
Cheers, Alex. Have a good weekend, everyone, and enjoy.